Welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast, hosted by Dave Roberts. Humanity possesses a unique skill, the ability to pass knowledge from one generation to the next. This podcast embraces that ability, offering learning opportunities through conversations with extraordinary guests. Dave aims to leave a positive mark on individuals around the world. So before you dive into today's episode, please share this podcast with your network, including friends, family, and colleagues. And please consider leaving a rating or review. Your support makes all the difference.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. Today, it is my pleasure to have as my guest, Pamela Downs. Pamela Downs is the visionary founder of Spirit Calling, a transformative online community dedicated to guiding individuals through their spiritual awakening. A significant life event sparked in Pamela a profound journey to understand energy and life beyond this physical form. This exploration led her into the world of energy healing, plant medicine, and profound experiences that opened her psychic and clairvoyant abilities. Having undergone her spiritual awakening journey alone, Pamela knows the challenges and importance of support during this transformative process. In a powerful vision during the night, Pamela received a divine calling to build Spirit Calling, a safe haven for seekers of all beliefs to come together on their spiritual path. Her personal experience became the driving force behind her mission and the creation of Spirit Calling. Pamela and the Spirit Calling community ensures that no one has to be alone during their spiritual awakening. And as somebody, Pamela, who believes in the power of community and its role in spiritual growth, I am very much aligned with your mission. So with that, welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast. Mm-hmm. I am very happy to have you today.
Thank you, Dave. I'm really, really happy to be here. So can't wait for our conversation.
I can't wait either. We just had a previously recorded conversation for your podcast. So I kiddingly said to Pamela, long time no see when she came back on. So.
Yeah, we can't wait to keep talking, which is so great too, right?
It is. Yep. I mean, we could keep the conversation going on for hours. Who knows? Tell us about the experience or experiences that shaped your life's calling, shaped your life path at this point in time.
Yeah. So, you know, we were talking earlier about you have no idea what your future holds, and you can say that this is what I want to do when I grow up, but the universe is like, tap, tap. We've got plans mm-hmm. for you. I grew up as a musician and a creative. I thought I was just going to be in marketing and branding, right? And I followed that career path. I followed that life path for a very long time. I got married. I had kids. And in around 2007, 2008, my father lost his bout with alcoholism. He had dabbled back and forth with sobriety. He was sober for a very long time when I was young, but he had an experience in his life that was hard for him to deal with, and he returned back to alcohol. So his body said, no, we can't do that anymore, and he transitioned. And at the time, I was starting to have big questions about religion. I was starting to say, what am I going to teach my kids to believe in if I don't understand what I believe in? And I started, you know, experiencing questions. If God is love and I transition, how is God going to sit in a seat in judgment, pointing his finger at me, saying that you do not have eternal life? You know, you're going to go to hell or you're going to go to heaven. And I was like, that's off. I wasn't in alignment with the things that I grew up learning about in my background and my religion. And I said, you know what? I believe that eternal life is and love is mine for the grabbing. And it's free for everyone. And so that started this like big questions, big answers. And then my dad, I saw my dad, who was physically and verbally, mentally abusive my childhood. I feared my father growing up. I didn't have a relationship with him. It was fearful. I watched him go through his life's challenges. And I started having children. I had a marriage and I started understanding some of the things that he was going through and maybe why alcohol showed up because he had, you know, mental health issues and he was using that to soothe himself and to deal with his mental health problem. I saw him battle the addiction and I watched it take his life. I watched this powerful man who was a bully to everyone, who was strong and he didn't care, you know, how his actions and his words affected other people, not just in his family, in his existence. And I watched him wither down. And I watched his body giving out on him, and I watched him change, and I watched him, you know, still try to act like that big, strong man and not really witnessing what his physical body was doing, right? Still in the spaces of his head. And I started understanding that he was human. And I started understanding through my own stories and my experiences, like reflecting and comparing and maybe seeing some similarities. And, you know, life is a challenge. It's a growth experience for our soul. It's a lesson in learning love. And I was doing that at the moment. And I watched him transition. My mother and my father and my brother, we're together. My parents are both only children. I didn't have a big family. My parents were divorced, and my brother was traveling in Europe. And I had to go and bring my father to the emergency room. And my mom said, "Do you want me to come?" And she didn't ask me. She said, "I'll come," because she knew that I was a sensitive and I needed support. And my brother started his voyage back to the States. And the three of us were by my father's bedside, holding hands, and my mother led us in prayer. And I wasn't going to say I don't believe in this or that. I just felt that that was appropriate in the moment. And we together, you know, intertwined our energy. And I watched his life force energy, his spirit, his soul, leave his physical form. And I didn't label it those things at the time. I wasn't in the space I am now, understanding consciousness and universal interconnectedness and energy and our soul. I didn't understand all that, but I saw it, you know, I watched it leave. And I watched his physical form just sit there, and it was a shell, and my father left it. And that was the beginning, Dave, of this giant journey of trying to understand where he went, where energy never dies. You know, we are all more than this meat suit, this body that we walk around in. And then it was the beginning of it all. It changed my whole entire life. And also, I heard later, and I'll tell you about this, that experience of us being around his bedside, sharing our love, intertwining our loves, being a love, the vibration that we were, I found out later through a psychic medium that we helped him transition. We helped him because his vibration was very low. We helped him elevate and transition. And that was like amazing. I forgave him. I had this experience of forgiveness right after that. And what that did was open me up, raise my vibration, help me understand love. So that experience changed everything. It changed everything. Did I know it at the time? No. You look back on it now, it was game changer. It changed my entire life. And there's moments like that that happen. There's moments like that that happen throughout your life.
Individuals that I know have had similar experiences. I think Raymond Moody talked about that in his work with shared death experiences, where actually the surviving loved ones share in assisting the soul of the loved one to cross over, or at least witnessing that. And that had to be a profound experience that just had to change the way you thought about everything.
It did. It really did. You know, when you bring life into the world and then you watch life leave the world, it's so interesting, because when you're a kid, you don't have these experiences to shape your understanding. You don't. And then you have them and you start to put the, it's a giant puzzle that on a table. You know, when you go away and your family, you're doing things, there's all these pieces and they're constantly moving and they're starting to form something over here and they're starting to form something over there. And that is your life. It's your life. And as you heal and as you understand and expand your consciousness, you're forming new pictures and more pieces are coming together. Those pieces are people. Those pieces are experiences. Those pieces are you at different stages in your life, and they're your family members. And it's, you know, your life is a lesson. It's a giant lesson.
Well, you know, you described your father's challenges in his physical form with alcoholism and abuse. And as a former addictions professional, I worked a lot with that combination, either victims of abuse, perpetrators of abuse, along with addiction. And the it just proves that, and I'm going to paraphrase from a great book called The Afterlife of Billy Fingers by Annie Kagan. And one of the teachings in that book is that you can't judge the value of anybody's life, including your own. And if you take a look at the surface, we take a look at the human experience and those contracts that cause conflicts that get in the way of us, you know, connecting as a family. And then when you shared your experience, it's like his value was
tremendous.
Was tremendous in helping you embrace another part of yourself that had been previously dormant or you weren't even aware of, and allowed you to embrace your true calling. So in spirit, he became the father that you always desired. And it was
absolutely
the same. And it was the same. When my father left when I was 5 years old, and my father has been more of a father to me in spirit, and I love him as much now as the mother who raised me, because of what I've learned as a result of his leaving and the circumstances behind it. And the value of his life to me is just, you can't measure that.
Yes, it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. And I have a sibling, the younger brother, who I mentioned before, who received more of the abuse, more of the emotional trauma, more of that than I. And I am a 53-year-old woman, and my younger brother is 4 years younger than me. And he's following the path of my father, and it is so painful to watch. But I know that he is elevating in this lifetime from a previous life. I know through my shamanic journeys, through my work with spirit, that my father elevated in this lifetime from his previous life and our lifetimes together. I know that. So I know that what my brother's going through right now, trying to find his self-empowerment, trying to conquer addiction and control and dynamics in the family, I know that he's doing soul work. And I know that I can't have expectations, and I can't heal him, and I can't, it's hard because I want to. I want to smack him and say, what are you doing? You know, but I talked to him with kid gloves, and I tried to give him the words of empowerment, and I try to create clarity for him. But we are at capacity, and that's all we have to work with in our toolbox is what we have. Mm-hmm. And I have what I have, and he has what he has. You know, we travel in soul groups, and we all came back in this particular lifetime to do this particular play and be the character that we are to each other right now. I found my power to leave my marriage. I found my power to start my businesses. I found my power to create this new spiritual community. I did it by listening. I did it by being able to hear a call that was coming. I did it by honoring my intuition, which is heightened as a creative and a musician and artist. But as I listened and I got better at listening, and my life would change, it will be evidence in front of me. And so I would continue to say, oh, that works. Let's do it. And then my conscious would show, you know, like it's evolving every day, every year of your life. Mm-hmm. But addiction is hard. It's very hard. It's a power. It's an energy.
It is. And it's very difficult to look at times can be difficult for individuals to look beyond the addiction and see the true inherent gifts of an individual.
Mm-hmm.
It's separating the person from the behavior. It's freeing the behavior, but not at the expense of the self-esteem of the individuals.
Yeah, for sure. When I first started waking up, when I first started my spiritual awakening, I was invited to this spiritual mediumship gallery. And they didn't contrive or try to go. It just, this ticket that was paid fell in my lap, basically. And I went. And I was there, and this man came up to me. His name is Rich Brancone. He's a friend, and he was a spiritual mentor for years with me as I was going through my spiritual awakening, because I didn't have anyone. I had Rich. And he said, your father's here. And I was like, well, I had never been to a spiritual medium before, and spirit medium. And he said, your father wants you to know how talented you are. He never told you how talented you are. And I was like a, you know, classical pianist, an artist. And he said, he's so sorry for the way that he treated you, for the way that he was angry towards you and hurt you, and he loves you. I mean, there was no denying that he still was there. He just wasn't there in physical form. Mm-hmm. And that moment, that was it. I found, I was finding myself in the metaphysical section of the library. I read Talking to Heaven and Many Masters, Many Lives by Dr. David Brian Weiss. And it was the beginning of like this, I couldn't quench my thirst for wanting to know more. And then I found the law of attraction. I started understanding that I'm the creator of my reality. And I started understanding, vibrations and so on. And all of it through years and years of discovery, learning, listening to my spirit, choosing love over fear, leaving my marriage, and like all of these things broke open the opportunity for what I'm supposed to do in my life, and that is to lead a spiritual community. I never thought I would do that, Dave. Never.
Yeah. I never thought I'd be embracing the path I'm embracing now, but who knew?
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. It is. And the fact that we both kind of embraced what we were meant to do in this lifetime. And mm-hmm. It was for both of us a couple of different, very life-altering challenges that got us on that path. But then mm-hmm. again, to get on the path where we're committed to service, we're committed to, to helping others, and especially with, it takes a tragic event for us to get us to commit to that. And there are days I wish the tragic event that happened to me with my daughter's transition didn't happen, but the challenges that occurred as a result of that has allowed me to do what I'm doing now and to do it with re-engage in life with purpose and meaning. So it sounds like there's a lot of alignment in our journeys.
Yes.
For sure.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
I want to get a little bit into the Spirit Calling community with you. What inspired you to create Spirit Calling, and what is the mission? What do you hope to accomplish for individuals who find you?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it has a great story. As I continued to listen to my spirit, and I started, cutting out people that didn't fit in my life anymore, that didn't resonate with me, and that allowed opportunity for new people to come in. And as I listened to say, hey, I think I want to go to this workshop, or I want to start reading this book about channeling, or watch this video about, energy and how all religions are seen. Like, I just kept on filling my world with things that were helping me expand. As I kept doing that, I kept on tapping into, I should try and do some Reiki. And I would, things would come my way. I would get tickets to things, or I would get introduced to someone. And I kept on seeing these breadcrumbs, and I kept on following the breadcrumbs. And I went to a group Reiki session where there were like four or five practitioners at a yoga studio someone invited me to. And it was the last one. There were half hour sessions. I was the last one to go. And I got up on the table, and I had five Reiki practitioners like around me working on my chakras at the same time. That's almost like getting a supercharged. Like, I don't know if I would tell anyone to do that, but one of them started working on my heart, and I started feeling this swell. I started feeling this giant ball of energy, like starting, like almost like labor pains, contractions coming. And then all of this energy released from my heart, and I started howling and crying and releasing. And that was my first experience with the energy, with the chakras, with like understanding that it was connected to my heart. And then I decided to learn about Reiki, and which led me to, the next thing and the next thing. And as I was doing these things, I was expanding my consciousness. I was understanding love, and I was tapping into my spiritual gifts. I was starting to understand that I had knowing. So I was always very intuitive. I was always very connected. I'd walk in a room and I'd feel the energy, or I'd be around certain family members and they would make me nervous. And when I first got married, about a year into my marriage, I went on Zoloft because I couldn't take energy. I couldn't, I didn't know how to manage the energy. And I went to my doctor and they prescribed pharmaceuticals, and that's what I did. But what I didn't know is that I was an empath. I was a super empath. And I was meant to, you know, be an energy worker. I didn't know that then, but I knew it as I continued on that healing journey. Mm-hmm. And I finally found myself at a Reiki retreat down in Costa Rica. I was doing Reiki 1 training with a bunch of beautiful people who are now dear friends of mine. And through that Reiki training, another experience happened, like when I was on the table at the Reiki share. I had energy ball up and it happened in my throat. And I had this experience of a past life come through, and it was scary, but it was, you know, powerful at the same time. And I could see things changing, and I had like physical experiences. And I started having like visions after that. And I started hearing things. Like my father came to me in the middle of the night, and he was on like a can phone. Remember when you were kids and you'd put two cans together and you could put a string? He was on a can phone, and I kept hearing him go, "Pammy, Pammy." And I went, "Dad?" Like I could hear his voice. And I went, "Dad?" And he went, "Pammy, I love you. I love you." And I was thinking, it was things like that. My grandfather would come and show me visions of different things. I started having energies like touch my body. And that kept evolving over the course of maybe 5 or 6 years. And then I got called to do plant medicine. I had this knowing. I saw a video of Gerald Powell. He opened a place in Costa Rica called Rhythmia Life Advancement Center. And I saw the video and I looked at him and I heard his story, and I had a knowing, which was the clair, the clair senses. I had a knowing I was going to go there. I didn't know how, but I knew I was going to this place. I just kept on going on my journey. I wound up meeting a friend who introduced me to another friend who wound up inviting me to Rhythmia. They were closing it down. He knew one of the owners. They had a small handful of people that they were especially inviting to be there. Normally there's 100, there were 40 people. They were high conscious spiritual people and leaders. And Spirit said, "You don't have to figure it out. Here you go. If you can find the courage to spend the money to move through and to abundance from lack, and know that we put this in front of you. Now it's your decision to make the choice to go there. It's all here." I went there because I saw the breadcrumbs. When I was there, I had a week-long ayahuasca journey. I did it several times a night, and I had such profound healing experiences. I had past life experiences that I healed. I had this life experiences that I healed with. I did generational healing with my daughters. I had understandings that were shown to me about my father. It was amazing, Dave. And the last night, every time that I did some healing, my vibration raised every time. The last night they did a breathwork class, and I went, and it was almost like a Kundalini yoga where you were elevating your breath and getting your energy to rise. And I had a light come through my third eye between my eyes, just shoot through my entire body. I felt love energy. My body was vibrating. My teeth were chattering. And I heard, "Everything from this moment has changed. Your psychic abilities have been enhanced." And I was out of breath. I was crying. Like, it was incredible. And then I went home to, at the time, New Jersey. And I had to integrate back into like my life after all of that happened. And actually COVID came a couple months later. And instead of like just sitting in front of the television and consuming that fear energy and letting all of that and my environment permeate my being, I just shut it all down and I started meditating and I started working kind of in the same way I had been at Rhythmia. And I started having experiences with beings, and I started having energies come into my body, and I started experiencing light language. And every time I started doing healing work again, and every time I healed, my vibration rose, and I kept doing this rising. And one day, this energy came through me and they started talking, and I started doing channeling. And I did that work for, I guess, the better part of a year, every morning working with these energies. And that is the Great Council of Light. So I became a trance channeler. And another thing I never had on my, like, I want to be when I grow up list. Thank you. And but I had watched a video about it and I was intrigued by it. It was a video called Tuning Air. And years before where they had interviewed five different trans channelers and they asked them all the same questions and they all had the same answers, different environments they were being recorded. And they used to listen to it all the time. And I knew I was going to do that too. And so it came by way of my father's transition. It came by way of listening to my spirit. It came by way of honoring my intuition, right? Mm-hmm. And choosing love, not fear, love, not fear, love, fear, love for my future, love for the opportunity, love for my soul's growth and the work that I could do. And in 2020, I woke up in the middle of the night and I heard spirit calling. And I got up and I wrote it down. And in the morning, I bought the domain and I filed it away and I went on my merry way and I was working. And as I kept meditating, I kept hearing, you are to build a portal for humankind. There's going to be a glass ceiling that shatters. People are going to not know who they are, what they believed in their entire life. They're going to need a safe place to land. You have to create a portal. And I was like, what is a portal? Except what that is. And through the course of a year, I kept hearing that. And then finally, about a year later, I woke up in the middle of the night and I had a vision and I saw this little icon come down and land on an iPhone screen. And I got up and I sketched a little icon. Then I had to go onto my domain, my GoDaddy, a couple days later, and I saw spirit calling there. And then it was just like, they are all the same. That is the community. It's called Spirit Calling, and I have to build it. So it launched, it's a beautiful place. It's an active, thriving community, and I'm able to support people who are going through their spiritual awakening, you know, so they don't have to be alone, as I said in my opener. It's hard because when you're going through your spiritual awakening, most times players that are in your life, they fall off the game board. They're not in anymore, right? They don't work anymore. They're not in vibration with you. You don't see value in the things you used to do. You don't want to sit around and talk about people. You want to learn. You want to meet people that are experiencing what you're experiencing. You want to learn about all the things. And the people that were in your life, they don't want to do that. And you often feel them. So that's why I created Spirit Calling. Long story, but a good one.
It is a good one. And one thing I wanted to backtrack on, for our audience who may not know what you mean by life language, can you explain what that is?
Yeah, it's a high frequency communication that comes from a different dimension. So we live in a three dimension, right? Mm-hmm. I connect with beings in other higher frequencies, higher dimensions. They don't live in the third dimension. And they have a way of communicating with you through light language. So I've seen light language. It looks like hieroglyphics. Different beings live in different dimensions because their frequency is of that dimension. So it's kind of like a language that exists within their frequency, if that makes sense. And I know that sounds confusing probably too.
No, it makes sense. And I think the language is probably more developed, more complex, the more mm-hmm. evolved that the spiritual beings you're connecting with are. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, thank you for that because
you're welcome.
Thank you for explaining that. One of the things that kind of struck me as you were talking about, you know, when you were getting Reiki and having this ball of energy released and doing generational healing with your, you know, with your family, you know, with your father, hearing your, it was almost like you were going through a life review that's in lifetime reviews that are very similar to experiences that people have reported with near-death experiences. And yeah. It also sounded like it had a very transformative effect on your assumptive world, much like dealing with life-altering loss does. And the same for those individuals who are embracing spirituality. Things change. The people that were once in their support group are no longer in their support group because, you know, it just doesn't fit anymore. Or, and also they take a look at the world very differently and very multidimensionally. Yeah. So there's kind of like an assumptive world shift that kind of occurs with that as well too. So.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a dynamic shift in everything, mm-hmm. every single thing, because I walk around now. I don't look at anything in the same way, anything. Your perspective just shifts completely. So it's like they say, a veil just comes off of being in front of your eyes. Yeah. And that's just the 101 of it. That's just the 101 of it, of a spiritual awakening. Now, couple that with all this knowledge that I've been receiving over the years of dimensions, frequencies, beings, our planet, like all of the things. And there's so much that we don't understand and we don't know. We only understand what's in front of our eyes when we're living in a three-dimensional space. Yeah. So it's cool. It's cool. I hope this intrigues someone to go and research or look up. What do they mean? Because that'll be the beginning of their shift right there.
Yeah. And I think that type of curiosity contributes to good critical thinking and to setting the stage, if we're open to it and we want it, to expand our belief systems to include more and more and more. And as I think we talked about earlier, it's not instead of, it's in addition to.
Yes, absolutely.
What is the significance of community in nurturing spiritual growth and awareness? Why do you believe that is so important?
I know that it's so important. There's an energy to it. Within my community, we can only speak that right now because that's where I've been immersed the most. There's love there. So I can understand where someone is. Now my body just filled up with vibration. I can understand where someone is because I went through it, right? With the spiritual awakening, it's different than other things. We have healers and practitioners that are part of our community. So when someone's going through something, they can post about it, right? They can say, this happened to me. It's a safe space, which is like a really big deal. Because if I'm in a boardroom and I'm talking and I'm in my business suit, which is what I am, like I own another business, I can't just talk about an experience I had in the middle of the night. I can't talk about my ayahuasca journey. I can't say, oh, you know, I had this Reiki thing that happened and I saw purple in front of my eyes. What does it mean? It's not appropriate. It's not going to be received. People think it's woo-woo. They don't understand because they live in a three-dimensional reality and their eyes aren't open to it. In a community of people like us, it's a safe space. And I understand where they are. So I can say, hey, Jackie, I can send her a message. She does inner child work. Jackie, this person, it sounds like she'll go and she'll support them. She'll ask them questions on the side. She'll post an event. Like, it's a beautiful space of what you need exactly when you need it. And you can grow there and be loved, basically, and be loved.
You know, and I think that's so important because particularly I work with a lot of young college students, and we talk about a lot of spiritual practices and a couple of courses that I teach. We talk about the spirituality of death. We talk about the intuitus of the younger generation that they have come in, you know, since 1996 and after, they have come into this world with a sense of knowing, a sense of past life history. And a lot of times I'll have young adults come and talk to me, Pamela, and they'll say, you know, I'm glad you mentioned this because I've always seen the world in this multi-dimensional format, but I've been afraid to share that because I'm afraid nobody's going to understand that. So that's why what you're doing with Spirit Calling and having that community, it provides a welcoming, safe space for individuals to share their growth, not be judged. And it sounds like you have a variety of different practitioners who are involved that you can call on to say, this person needs this aspect of expertise from you. Can you work with them? And I think that's great. I think that's fabulous.
I love it. Like last evening, I did a tour of a local gym because I just moved. And everywhere I go, I could walk into the supermarket and I'm talking to someone about spirituality. Everybody wants to know, like everyone is experiencing a dynamic shift in their world and they have questions, but they don't feel like they can ask them because they don't want to be judged, right? So last night I had this, I'm walking through, I had a guy that was bringing me and they dumped me off at the reception desk to close me, to get me to sign up. And this young kid asked me what I did. And I told him that I'm Denise and I told him about work. And he goes, what do you do? So I told him, I mean, they latch on. Mm-hmm. They want to know. He goes, this is a perfect example. He goes, what does spirituality mean to you? But you're asking me a question, but you have a question, but you're afraid to say it because you don't want to be judged. And I said, well, it's not religion. It's not religion. Because that's the thing. People, they don't want to get stuck or put in a religion. I want to talk about religion. And he goes, oh, good, 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 good. Cause that's what I believe. And I said, okay. And then I just kind of like gave him feelers to pull on. And he was like, I want to know more about it. People want to know more about it. They're ready. They're ready to open up. They're ready to talk. They're ready to expand, you know?
Yeah, and I think we're in that world of expansion of consciousness. And if you take a look at it, mm-hmm. I think since the 1980s, people have become more and more curious about what happens to us after death. There's more belief mm-hmm. in an afterlife. And I think, to me, it isn't coincidental that that interest coincided with the work of, you know, Raymond Moody and Bruce Grayson mm-hmm. with research and publication of near-death experiences. These were the mm-hmm. pioneers that talked about the survival of consciousness, that talked about, you know, what happens after death may not be as clear cut as we used to think it was. And it's, mm-hmm. it stimulated that innate curiosity. So,
yeah.
And I think it's great. I think it's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. We're both preaching to each other's choirs, I think.
Right.
Point, so
it's great.
So tell me more about the Great Council of Life. That intrigued me. What is its role in facilitating achievement of the spirit calling mission?
Ooh, yeah, the Great Council of Life. We joke and say they're our board of directors. Like, we joke about it, but they truly are. They're our guides. This particular set of guides are very, very high frequency, creator being, ancient guides. They're super high frequency. They're super loving. They're amazing. So they are who I tap into for divine wisdom. They give me guidance so that I can communicate that to my community. So every month I channel a message. Some people know Abraham Hicks, kind of mainstream, channeler. I do what Esther Hicks does. I open up my vessel and I ask for them. I'm so connected with them. I can bring them in at any time. But I ask them to come in, they permeate my body, they shake my head with reverence and love. And then I automatic write and messages just come out of my fingers like in speed. I get sort of in a trance, so I don't really know what I'm typing, but I'm just typing. And the messages for our community are love and support so that they can help guide them. And then weekly, I do that. I kind of like teach a lesson, do the channel message, teach a lesson and break down what it means. And then weekly, I post one. It's a little like highlight to help them through the week. Then they also give me all kinds of premonitions. They tell me what's coming up on our planet. I receive, in addition to my connection to the council, I receive visions. I wake up in the middle of the night, they talk to me. I have to get up and record it or write it down. They tell me so many things. So between 2020, when all of this started, till now, they told me there was going to be a war in 2020. And I said, really? I mean, yes, there's going to be war. There's going to be famine. There's going to be a dynamic shift in our currency. We're going to move into a digital currency, one that's of control. There's going to be a collapse of the financial institutions. There's going to be, they talked about, UFOs. So I have like a whole journal of all of these things. And I only like to talk about them like in a way where they're supportive. They don't want to scare anyone. They don't want to spread fear, but their whole intention is to support, guide, and to be there as a loving, you know, force to help us. They love us. So that's the council. And then I frequently channel messages for members, individual members. So I can sit in a space and say that I'm coming with love. I want to know the best and honor the person that I'm connecting for. I'll bring in their guide. And so I'll feel them come in, and everybody has a different frequency. It's really cool. It's really cool. So they might say something that someone needs to hear. I had a member who had a son that she didn't speak with. And, you know, when I started doing this, it was so specific. Like, the information was so specific. I was a little shy because I was learning how to do it. And I would reach out and say, do you have a son? Just to, because I was kind of fielding it a little bit. And she would say, yes. And so then I would say, okay, I feel okay about sending this message. And so I do that as much as I can to serve the community. And then I'm going to do a predictions video soon for 2024. I feel like I'm called to do that. But then mostly they want you to honor love. Mm-hmm. They want you to honor yourself. They want you to work on your individual frequency. And I can share some of the links to some of the videos that I've put out so your audience can check them out. But it's basically about if there's something that comes that's fearful in the future, like in 2024, when you have some stuff that's coming, it's your vibration. How's your vibration? Because it needs to rise above it. It needs to rise above it. It needs to be able to not get consumed by this wave. It needs to be able to say, I am a high vibration, and I'm a preserver. I'm sitting there just kind of floating on this world and this energy frequency, or this negative frequency, and I'm good. And that's the message. And they kind of talk about how to do that and what to do and how you can work to elevate your frequency. It's their biggest message recently.
Well, I think if we could elevate our frequency, and I think you're right, it's all about love. And I think love will triumph over fear anytime. And what we fear, and I learned this through, as I told you earlier about from Reverend Patty Farino, my spiritual mentor, he said, what we fear, it's going to be called in until we choose to deal with it. And it's absolutely yes. True. It's always going to manifest until we deal with it or manage it. And of course, I can go into what Pema Chodron always said about nothing ever truly goes away until it has nothing left to teach us. And I've learned that as
it's
well,
true.
Too. So it is true. It is true. But yeah, it's just the work you're doing is just and it really, really, I think just fabulous. And I love the fact that you have a community, because we need that support, particularly so many people feel that they're alone in how they see the world, and they're going to be judged by how they see the world. You have a community that's obviously very supportive and welcoming, that's going to nurture that and help develop that.
And help them have courage. Not me to cut you off, but one thing just popped in my head, so I have to say it because I feel like it was said to me. One of our members, like, he was raised in Jehovah's Witness, and he wasn't resonating with it anymore. And like, he had to leave his family. That's some hard shit. That's hard.
That is
you know? So when you are believing, I had that too. I left Catholicism. It just wasn't resonating with me. I was raised my entire life, and it's who I was. Grandparents were at the church. We'd cross their, you know, everything when they drove by. I had old Italian grandparents, and it was, we were christened. We all of the things. And it was, my mother said, well, does that mean that you don't believe that Jesus died for your sins? And you don't believe that you're like, do you believe in Jesus? I'm like, I love Jesus. I've had a relationship with Jesus since I was a little girl. He's like my man. He's shown up for me in amazing ways. He's a teacher. He's a prophet. He expressed and taught love. Like, he wasn't caught up in all of these things. And so when you have these beliefs, and everybody's beliefs are fine, I'm not saying that one is right or one is wrong, but when you choose to leave something, it's hard work. You have a community here that a lot of people have done that, or they're in the middle of doing that, or they can, like, he could talk about it. I just wanted someone maybe needed to hear that it's hard, and you have support, definitely have support.
There's a couple last questions that I have for you. One is, what do you want to leave our audience with as far as one or two takeaways from your experiences that can help them deal with their own experiences and challenges in life?
Okay. I would say to anyone that's listening, and I say this on almost every podcast, you have an intuition. You have a gauge. It's innately inside of you. You've used it before. Everyone has had an experience where they wish they'd listened. I wish I took my car keys, or I wish I didn't go down that road, or I wish that I just called her when I could have. You get the choice. So instead of ignoring that, listen to it and honor it for 30 days. Choose love, choose love, choose love. Stop choosing fear for 30 days. And watch it change your life. At the end of 30 days, you see what happens. Do it. You're going to do a 30-day challenge. You're going to try to lose weight. You're going to want to work out. You're going to do all these things. So let your soul have a chance to be heard. give it 30 days. I mean, that's what I would say, because I think you'll be surprised. Don't worry about what anyone thinks. You don't have to proclaim it. You don't have to post it. You don't have to share it. You make it something just within yourself. And then, and listen, if you can't do it for 30 days, just do it one day, right? And see how that goes. See how it goes. That's what I say. That's really what I want everyone to just, it doesn't have to be big and hard and all these things. It just needs to be simply a choice. Because that's all we have, our choices. And we have now. We have this now moment over and over again. This now moment to show up for our souls. How's that?
That's a mouthful. And that's a great takeaway to leave with our audience. So last question that I have for you, how can people get in touch with you, find out more about your services, find out more about what you do?
Okay. So they can go to spirit-calling.com. We have a 7-day free trial. So go to my website, check it out. You can read about me if you want to learn more about what I do and just feel like more integrated before if you pull the trigger. But you get 7 days for free. You can go under the hood. You can check it out. You can attend events. You can listen to the sound healing that's curated every month just for my community. You can talk to practitioners. There's free courses. There's so many things. There's a whole resource section. And when you do and sign up for the 7 days, you get a message from me telling you exactly what to do when you get in there. So there's certain things that I want you to try out. There's certain things I want you to watch. And you really get a chance to dive in at no cost. There's no commitment whatsoever. But also go to our YouTube channel, Spirit Calling, Live the Call. And there's videos there. There's podcasts like yours. The one that you and I did is going to be up there. There's other people that have gone through listening to their spirit and who are living their call, and they're inspirational and they kind of help. And there's also my channel messages. So there's Instagram too, and Facebook, TikTok. Just look up Spirit Calling or Spirit Calling Live the Call. And you can do it without committing to anything if you want. You know, just kind of give your spirit a chance.
It sounds good. And is there anything else you want to add before we sign off?
That I'm really grateful to have met you and had this chance to talk today. And you know, you and I did a podcast and we're going to talk again. So I'd love to stay in touch and keep it going.
Likewise. Thank you, Pamela, for sharing your experiences, sharing your wisdom. And it was a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thanks, Dave. It was great being here.
And with that is a wrap on another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, wishing you peace.